Greetings, this is Pastor Stan Harvey of the Pentecostals of Sydney. Thank you for joining us on our podcast. It is our hope that this message, whether it be a Sunday service or a midweek lesson, would be a blessing and a help to you in your spiritual journey. Stay connected with us on our website, posydney.com, or on our numerous social media platforms. Now to the service. Jesus can meet that need. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13 and 17 to 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Everyone say change. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. With the help of the Lord today, I want to talk to you very briefly on a wonderful change. A wonderful change. Let us pray one more time, shall we? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what we have already experienced. We felt of the moving of your Spirit in the midst of your people. We already, Lord, have heard from you. And once again, we ask that you continue to speak to us, Lord, as you anoint your people in the servant of God. We give you thanks and praise. And Lord, we're expecting and believing, Lord God, that you're going to do something wonderful in our lives. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands one more time and thank the Lord? God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. It's good to be back. Spent over maybe 9-10 days just over in the Philippines, and good to have. I've traveled with Brother Nigel and my wife, not my wife, my daughter. I'm a little bit jet lagged, so the neurons in my brain misfiring a little bit. So you might be in trouble today. Half an hour could seem like, or 2 hours could seem like half an hour. We had a wonderful conference, Asia Pacific Youth Conference in Manila with almost 10,000 young people in attendance. And we saw over 300 receive the Holy Ghost for the first time in that conference. It was just amazing. Glory to God. 5 deaf people received the Holy Ghost. 5 deaf people received that. Don't ask me how that works, but 5 deaf people received the Holy Ghost. And if 5 deaf people can receive the Holy Ghost, you've got no excuse. You can receive the Holy Ghost today. That the Bible says is for whosoever will. Amen. There are 2 constants in the world. 2 constants. Firstly, the first constant is that God never changes. Amen. He never changes. Malachi 3 and 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. And he said in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He never changes, so we can trust him. We can bank on his word. That whatever he said and whatever he did before, we can trust that he can do it again. Amen. That if it was good enough for the apostles, it's good enough for us. Amen. If they can receive a miracle 2,000 years ago, we can receive a miracle today. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can do it back then for the children of Israel, he can do it for us today. If he can perform a miracle back then, he can perform a miracle today. He's not like the stock exchange. He's not like the latest technology, but he's the same God from before. And you can bank on his word. You can trust in his word that he's going to, what he said he was going to do, he can do it again. If he can heal from those that are sick back then, he can heal today. If he can raise Lazarus from the dead, come on, somebody. No matter how dead your situation might be, he's a God that can raise it up and resurrect it back to life. Oh, thank God, he's the same God. He never changes. You can trust in him. You can put your life in his hands. You can walk in the power of his word. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful? While this world is going crazy, they're walking in the dark, running around in confusion, don't know where to turn left and right. We can look to the word of God. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word is going to abide forever. Come on, we don't trust in our governments. We don't trust in personalities. We're not trusting in Hollywood. We're not trusting in the latest social influencer. We are trusting in the truth of God's word. And when you stand upon the word of God, you will never fail. Hallelujah. That's why he's given us the Bible, because we can look at the word of God and we can follow the word of God. We can trust in the written word, in the Logos, and trust in his word that what he promised, he's going to do. He said, well, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. But listen, the Bible says that the word of God becomes ineffectual. It becomes pointless in our lives if we do not mix it together with faith. In other words, you can sit in this room, hear the word of God preached, and it will do absolutely nothing in your life. Or you can sit here, hear the word, and say, yes, I believe it, that there is an amen in your heart. You mix it together with faith. I promise you, something has got to happen. The power of God has got to be released in your life. Oh, is there anybody in here today that's got some faith in God's word? Hallelujah. Glory to God. God never changes. It is reassuring to know that there's some things that you can rely upon and trust in with all your heart. But the other constant is the world is constantly changing. God never changes. The world is always changing. Let me read something to you from January 31st, 1829. From a letter written to the U.S. President in the United States, President Martin Van Buren. The letter was written, "Dear President," this is before the railway came into existence, "the canal system of this country is being threatened by the spread of a new form of transportation known as railroads. The federal government must preserve the canals for the following reasons. One, if canal boats are supplanted by railroads, serious unemployment will result. Captains, cooks, drivers, hostlers, repairmen, and lock tenders will be left without means of livelihood, not to mention the numerous farmers now employed in growing hay for horses that pulled those canal boats. Number two, boat builders will suffer, and tow line, whip, and harness makers would be left destitute. Number three, canal boats are absolutely essential to the defense of the United States. In the event of the expected trouble with England, the Erie Canal would be the only means by which we could ever move the supplies so vital to waging modern war. As you may well know, Mr. President, railroad carriages are pulled at the enormous speed, watch this, of 15 miles per hour. by engines, which in addition to endangering life and limb of passengers, roar and snort their way through the countryside, setting fire to crops, scaring the livestock, and frightening women and children. The Almighty certainly never intended that people should travel at such breakneck speed. That might sound a little humorous to us. That previous generation never imagined that they could have railroads. They had all of kinds of fears and anticipations. And we look back at that because most of us, we look at railroads as something that's pretty obsolete almost at times, though we still use it. But now we have planes and we have people going in outer space. But the world has changed so much in such a short period of time that this world is constantly changing. Who would have ever thought? I mean, growing up as a child, you know, we would be outdoors all day riding our BMXs and going around, and that was our lives. We didn't have, we were lucky, we could buy an Atari, a computer game, and play, you know, the brick game. We would play, Pong. That's what we had. And nowadays, you've got more computing power in your little phone device than they had to send Neil Armstrong into space and to land in the moon. There's more computing power in our little machines than they had in the entire space program of sending man to the moon. The world is constantly changing. They got all this stuff now called AI. Anybody ever use that? AI, you know, they got that, what is it, chat? GPT or something like that. You can virtually put anything in there. I said, okay, ChatGPT, write me a sermon. And it literally spat out a sermon within seconds. And I said, oh man, this is not anointed. this is not for, I might just try it one day. I could never do that. But I remember Brother Jan's pastor, Brother Jonathan Downs in Canberra, somebody used AI to get his voice to begin to preach something that he did not say. This is what's scary today. They use AI for him. It was his voice, but he started speaking like false doctrine. And he said that's not something he ever said. But the guy did it just to show him in what kind of world we're living in today. We're living in such a different type of society and time where now people are staying home for work. They can work from their computers. And slowly but surely, humanity and society is becoming more and more disconnected. We are connected online, but we're not connected face-to-face. It seems like that society is now being geared and maneuvered to where we don't have to leave the comforts of our home. We can stay in our pajamas all day. We can stay in our bedrooms and we can get our food ordered and delivered. We have our whole social life in our device. We can have all of the things that we need. Our work is through our machines. And we can have everything that we need just in the comfort. And we don't have to leave the house. And we can just stay right where we are all day. I believe that this is none other than the work of the enemy that's trying to separate us and divide us and isolate every single individual. That's what the lions in the savannah do. They don't go into the middle of the herd, but they pick out the ones that are isolated, that are moving away from the pack, and they get the ones that are on the periphery, the ones that are on the edges, that are not in the midst of the pack. The devil's tactic is to try and separate and cut us off. That's why it's so important for us to remain in the church of the living God, to remain in the family of God. That's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is the manner of some. In other words, that ought to be your custom. That ought to be your habit, that you gather together with God's people. Because together, when we come into this house, we are so much stronger than we are by ourselves. We are so much more powerful standing side by. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I know you can do it at home. I know you can live for God all by yourself. But when you are standing together side by side, I am stronger with you as my brother, as my sister, than I am by myself. We need each other. Hallelujah. The world is constantly changing. But there's one thing about human beings that is part of our nature, is that we as people, we do not like change. How many of you here walked in here today and you sat in the same seat that you always sit? There we go. Put your hand up. Come on. You sat in the same seat you always sit in. We are creatures of habit. We like the same things. We don't want life to be all just kind of mixed up and disjointed, and we want to do the same things. We go to the same places. We eat at the same restaurant. And my wife always gets at me. She said, "You always order the same thing. Why don't you be adventurous and try something else?" I said, "Well, why? If I found a good thing, why not stick with that good thing? Because I don't want to waste my money on experimenting and find out I don't like it, that dish was terrible. I want the same dish because it works for me." She goes, "Oh, you're so boring. You need to try other foods. You need to try something else." Oh, I'll try other foods that I know is good. But we are creatures of habit, and we do not like change. But I want you to know something here today, that God is a change agent. Is that when you come into the kingdom of God, when you become a child of God, a believer, that the wonderful thing is that God does not leave us in the same place. Is that when you come to know the Lord, He doesn't allow you to remain the same person in the same place. In fact, the Bible says that when you come to God, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a whole new creature. Did you hear that? It says you become a new creature. It doesn't say you become a new person. It doesn't say you become a reformed alcoholic. It doesn't say you become a reformed this, that, or the other. But what the Bible is trying to emphasize is that when you come to God, it's as if you become an entirely different creature, a new species. Oh, when God does a work in our lives, we are changed. We go from glory to glory to glory. Oh, can you clap your hands and thank God? Hallelujah. That's why when you get saved, that's why when a person hears the gospel of how Jesus went to the cross and shed His blood for you and I, and we say, "Yes, Lord, I believe," and we repent of our sin. Again, that's the first word of the gospel of Christ. John the Baptist preached it, Jesus preached it, and Peter on the day of Pentecost, he preached it. He said, "Repent." In other words, change. You've got to change. You've got to change your life. You've got to change your direction. If you want to experience the power of God, you've got to change and turn from a life of sin. Oh, hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying? Glory to God. And we repent, and the Bible says something wonderful takes place when we repent of our sins, that we are to step into the waters of baptism. We get into that water like that young lady earlier today, and when we get in that water, a supernatural transaction, something miraculous takes place. Your sins are washed from you, and you get up out of that water, and when God sees you, you are clean, you are pure, you are holy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had a few more that would get excited about that, that you remember when you stepped into that water, that God gave you a new name, a new identity. God removed. Hallelujah. That's why somebody would ask, "Oh, do I have to get baptized? Or do I need to get in that water?" You know, that's the wrong question. The question should be, "You mean I get to get baptized? You mean I get to have my sins washed away?" Acts 2:38, no matter how you turn it upside down, left, right, you can't change the meaning that the Bible says when you repent and you get baptized in Jesus' name, it is for the remission of sin. Hallelujah. And I've got some good news for you today. If you've not been baptized, you can have your sins washed away today. The water's warm. We've got baptism gowns. You don't even have to have brought your change of clothes. But today could be the first day of your new life. Okay. I put my timer on today. I had the men's session yesterday. I was speaking for about an hour, and I looked down at my timer. Oh, I forgot to turn it on. I have to start again. You get baptized. This is the most wonderful experience. Because when Nicodemus came up to Jesus, he said, Master, I know, John chapter 3, I know you are somebody come from God, because nobody can perform these miracles except they were sent from the Lord. And Jesus does not mince any words, doesn't pull any punches, but he gets straight to the core of the issue. He said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is scratching his head. What are you talking about? You get born again? How? I'm an old man. I'm a grown man. How am I going to be born again of my mother? His mother may not even be still alive. He said, no, except a man is born again of water and the, capital S, Spirit, referring to the Spirit of God. Water and Spirit, you see this same pattern all throughout the rest of the New Testament. You get to the book of Acts, the same pattern of water, Spirit. What does that mean? Water is baptism. The only reference of water is baptism. Some say, well, it's you know, you're first born of water, and you know, when your mother's water breaks in the womb, that's you're born of water, and then you're born of Spirit when you are saved. No, Jesus didn't say, except a man is born of water and then born again of Spirit. He said, except a man is born again of water and of Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so when you get saved, we baptize you. You're born of water. You cannot go to heaven without it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But when we put you in the water, We only put you down for a few seconds. We won't hold you down for 10 minutes. Because if your idea of being saved is going straight up to heaven, we can do that for you. Is he still moving? No, we don't do that. We don't hold you down. We do it for a second. Why? Because then now something happens. You begin a journey. You begin an adventure, if you will. After you're born, this is just the beginning. This is just the tip of the iceberg. In order for a child to grow up, they've got to be born first. In order for you to experience the glory of God, you've got to be born again. And then the process of change begins to take place. Amen. And we become different people. And Jesus uses this parable of change. He says, it's like a woman that took some leaven and puts it in 3 measures of flour. 3 measures of meal. And this is how change takes place. It's like a little bacteria. It's like a little, what do you call it today? The leaven, yeast. You put yeast in the flour, and then that yeast will begin to grow. And so this is the process of change that begins to take place, is that they put the yeast in. And then after the baker, and you know, I couldn't bake to save my life. My wife's like, why are you talking like you know how to bake? She's a good cook, but when I've watched YouTube, okay. When a baker puts the yeast in the meal, he incorporates it until it's incorporated throughout the whole lump of flour. This is what Jesus was talking. He said the kingdom of heaven, or whenever the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is revealing spiritual things. This is what happens. Says the kingdom of heaven is like unto this. And so it is the process, and once the yeast is in the flour, then the composition of the flour begins to change. And what happens is after, again, I don't know anything. I know a lot about eating bread, and I do know that bread makes you spread. But I do know that when the pastry chef has incorporated, he'll put it somewhere. He'll put it in a container. He'll put it in a different place so that it allows that yeast to begin to do its work. It begins to change. It begins to do its work to grow that thing. It becomes fluffier. It becomes bigger. It becomes lighter. And this is part of the process of change, folks, is exactly what the baker does, is he's got to change its environment. He's got to give it space. And what I've come to tell you today, when you become born again, you've got to go from glory to glory. The process of change has got to take place. How? By you changing your environment. Amen. Come on. This is so simple. This is so basic. This is practical and pragmatic. If you want to experience the change that God has for you, you've got to change your environment. If you've got an addiction to poker machines, well, listen, you got to stop going to the clubs. You got to stop going to the casinos. Come on. You want to stop sitting? You got to stop going to the pub. You got a problem with alcohol? Well, you got to say no thank you to the pub. I'm going to Connect Group. I'm going to youth group. I'm going to church. The Bible says that the tree that is planted in the house of God, it shall flourish. If you want to flourish in your life, you've got to be transplanted like a plant out of the world. You've got to come out of the world. The Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Get planted in the house of God and you will flourish. Hallelujah. Come on, we've all tried it. We've all tried to live with one foot in church and one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the kingdom of the devil. I thought if I could just have my fun, have my parties and live like I want and still go to church on Sunday, that I'm going to be okay. No, you're going to be split right down the middle. You're like standing in the middle of the road. And if you are in the middle of the road, you're going to get run over. You've got to get transplanted. You've got to get planted in the body, in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you, this God, he can change anybody. It doesn't matter how deep in sin your life has been. He can take a drug dealer and put them in the house of God, make them an usher at the door, put them on the stage to play songs. This God, he can take the worst of sinners. He can take, like Paul said, the chiefest of sinners and turn them into the saint. This is the God of transformation. He can transform you where people look at you and they won't even recognize who you are. They said, what is it about you? Something's changed in your life. What is it that's made you who you are? Hallelujah. Oh, a wonderful change has come over me. That's the words of a song. YouTube it when you get home. It's called Change by Tremaine Hawkins from the 1970s. It is an anointed gospel song. A wonderful change has come over me. You remember that song? I asked them if they could sing it today, but I said, no, the 70s is too far beyond me. But you got to change your environment. The only way change takes place, of course, is the Holy Ghost that changed us. But you can't have the Holy Ghost and be separate. The Bible calls us the church. The word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means the called out ones, called out into a gathering. Where are we called out from? We're called out from the world. We're not to leave the world. We're to be in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. And of course, the baker has to allow that yeast, that meal to have space and for it to have time. Time, remember, brothers and sisters, is a tool in God's hand. It is often a tool that he uses to change us. Some of the hardest things, as Brother Jan shared, about suffering, pain without purpose is frustration. Sometimes waiting unanswered prayers is frustration. You look at the story of Moses, 40 years. 40 years he was under Egypt, then he had to escape. For another 40 years, he was in a shepherd in the mountains in Midian somewhere, looking after sheep. Before God actually calls him to fulfill his ultimate calling, which was to be the leader of children of Israel. Could it be that it could have happened sooner, but God allowed the 40 years as a means to drain him of every drop of Egypt? That's oftentimes when things don't happen in your life at the time that you want it, is because God knows you're not ready for it. It's because God knows that if he gives it to you now, yes, he wants to give it to you, but if it's too rushed, if it is premature ahead of time, it could be damaging or detrimental to you. That's why whatever door God closes, yes, we thank God for the door that he opens, but you ought to thank God for the door he also closes. Thank God that he gave you that job, but thank God that he kept me from getting this other job, because God knew that that would be bad for my walk with God. Come on, you've got to be, if you are walking with God and things haven't happened yet, you can simply say, Lord, I'm going to stand still in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to be patient and wait. Amen. Come on, somebody. Good things come to those who wait, right? They that wait upon the Lord. Come on, wait for God. Don't rush ahead of God. Don't run ahead of him. Don't just be so impatient and say, God, it's not happening yet, and you want to walk out with God. Listen, if it's not happening, God is doing something behind the scenes. If it hasn't happened yet, if you didn't get that job yet, and you're praying, you're doing what you know to do, God is working on your behalf to make sure you are exactly where God wants you to be. Okay, I got to stop. Musicians, you could come. The third thing that God uses, he uses space, time. Obviously, it's his spirit that works in us. But his spirit will not work independent of our response. We still have to do. We still have to act. We can't just sit there and say, oh, yeah, God's going to give us revival. Yeah, God's going to give us souls. He didn't say, okay, guys, wait and just wait till you get souls coming in. And then, no, he said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. And the third thing and the final thing is, like the yeast acts as a bacteria, like an irritant. It could be seen as something negative. That's why when they have unleavened bread, it means they bread without yeast, so that it is pure, just wheat. No bacteria, no additive. And sometimes God will add some bacteria in our lives. Okay, and it's not your spouse. Well, it could be your spouse. God will allow irritants. You know, like you know, the oyster, right? You remember the oyster? I had some amazing oysters from Brother David. Oh, my goodness. That big. It felt like an oyster steak, bro. But in the oyster, the shell is, I forgot the particular chemical name for it, but it's the same material that produces the pearl. Well, what happens is a foreign body, a bacteria of some kind, a foreign object, goes into the oyster. And because it doesn't belong there, just like the human body, if you've got some virus or bacteria, your body is designed to fight it. That's why when you're sick, you get phlegm, right? That phlegm is your body's way of trying to fight the virus, trying to protect your body from this virus. Well, what the oyster does is when a foreign body comes in, it starts to create this enamel to cover this foreign body, and that enamel eventually becomes the pearl. And what I'm saying to you today is God will use things, irritants. Sometimes I call them grace builders. Anyone have any grace builders in their lives? where God is building grace in your life. He'll allow the irritant to come in, whether it's people, and yes, even in the church. Sometimes we can irritate each other. Yes, sometimes we can step on each other's toes. Why? Because we're flawed human beings. We've got issues, we've got hang-ups, we got problems. Yes, sometimes we may offend each other. But listen, it could be that God is using that person with their bad attitude and bad breath, whatever it is, to develop growth and change in your life. Because there is no growth without change. You can have change without growth, but you can't have growth without change. What God's called us is to grow. He uses suffering to bring growth in our lives. He uses pain. Like what C.S. Lewis said, pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So if you are in pain right now, God is doing something to grow you, to change you, to go from glory to glory. We don't stop there. So okay, I think I'll just chill here. This is a good vantage point. That's enough, God. No more pain. No, pain keeps coming. He'll go from glory, then to glory, to glory, to glory. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. If you find yourself right now, you feel like you're in limbo. You feel like that you just don't know where you're going. God has you in the palm of his hand, and he's allowing these periods of confusion and feeling frustrated and bewildered and say, what is going on? He wants you to trust him, to keep doing what you know to do, and let God do the stuff that you don't know what to do about. I don't know how he's going to work it out. I don't know how we're going to get the finances. I don't know how I'm going to be able to get through this. But there's one thing I do know, is that I'm going to keep trusting in God. I'm going to keep coming to the house of the Lord. I don't know where the miracles. That's why it's a miracle, folks. That's why it's called a miracle. Because it's not something that we can do. You leave the miracles to his hand. But you keep focusing. You keep walking. You keep saying, God, I want to know you. I want to fall in love with you all over again. I want my faith to rise and believe you, that you are my friend that sticks closer than any brother, that you are my heavenly Father who is better than any earthly father in this world, that you are my God, that you are the Spirit that's dwelling on the inside of me to lead me and guide me into all truth. Hallelujah. I want you to know today, God wants to change us. He wants to transform us, to make us into new creatures here today. Wherever you are, it's time to get to the next level of his glory, for his glory. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voices right now in prayer all over this house in Jesus' name? Father, we thank you. We feel your presence. We feel the power of your Holy Spirit moving us, leading us. We don't understand it all. We can't map out everything that's going on. But Lord, we know that your hand is on us. Your hand is heavy upon us to change us, to bring about a wonderful change, to bring about growth. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're open today. We want your Spirit. We want to receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. We want you to dwell within us today. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I want to invite you to come out of your seats. Find a place at the front over here. This is what we call the altar. This is a time when we lay down our hearts and lives and we talk to the Lord. And it doesn't matter what it is, but you can talk to him about anything in your life. He is your loving Savior. He's a God who is touched, a high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. If you need the gift of the Holy Ghost today, you've never received this promise. He'll give it to you today. If you would come out of your seat to this front, something powerful happens When you step out of your seats, nothing really ever changes when we refuse to move. But if you believe God's word, if you trust Him, the power of God will come to you and He will bring about a wonderful change. Anybody need the gift of the Holy Ghost? Ministers, leaders, connect group leaders wise, ministers wise, they're coming, praying together with you. This altar is open. You need to repent. Say, Lord, I'm ready for that change. I'm ready to make that commitment. I'm ready to follow you. Lord, here it is. I don't know how it's all going to happen, but I am making a decision today. That's what I know to do. Come on, somebody needs to make a decision today that this is it. A wonderful change. Glory to glory. This altar is open. You can come and seek the Lord while He may be found. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here today.